Coming up this weekend, a big event in the town of Carrboro, the Carrboro Film Festival going on at the Art Center, 300 East Main Street, Saturday and Sunday, with events going on all day, both days. More than 30 films being screened over the course of 2 days, as well as workshops, special guests, and a whole lot more. Big, big event on the Carrboro Arts calendar. This is the 10th year of the film festival. It started all the way back in 2006. Among the very special guests is Michael Miller. Michael Miller is a film editor with a resume a mile long. He's worked on Woody Allen's classic Manhattan. He worked on Raging Bull, a bunch of really good Coen Brothers movies, Blood Simple, Raising Arizona, Miller's Crossing. He worked on Ghost World. I could go on, but we've got him here on the phone. He's going to be speaking at the Art Center Saturday night from 7:30 to 9. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So I mentioned a number of the big movies on your resume. How did you get into the filmmaking business in the first place?
In a very traditional way, with a lot of luck added to it. I had a college internship between my junior and senior year, at a commercial production house in New York. And it was a time in the film industry, the 1970s, when editors would go back and forth between commercials and feature films. And I met two people who were pivotal in my career during this internship. One was an amazing editor who is still at it. His name is Paul Hirsch. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Paul was editing with Brian De Palma. And Brian De Palma had just finished Carrie with Paul and recommended him to a friend in the Bay Area who was working on a film that needed an additional editor, a little thing called Star Wars, and Paul worked on that. And I just held on to his coattails, listened to his wisdom. The other person who was there was an assistant editor named Sonia Polonsky, and Sonia worked as an assistant editor on Annie Hall and Interiors, and wasn't available when Woody Allen started Manhattan, and she recommended me, and that was just a great opportunity, and luck begets luck, so it all kind of went from there.
That's really cool. So what was it like to work with Woody Allen? You were able to work with Martin Scorsese right after that. What was that like?
It was amazing. I knew so little, really, when I was starting out, that the learning curve was tremendous. Woody Allen was very disciplined. He was nose to the grindstone from 9 in the morning till 6 at night with a little break for lunch. Filmmaking was different in the non-digital days. The job of an assistant editor was basically to find pieces of film that the director and editor were looking for. And in order to do that quickly and efficiently, the assistant editor had to be in the room with them. Mm-hmm. And so I just got to be a fly on the wall while doing my job. I got to be a fly on the wall listening to conversations about why we'd cut from this shot to that shot, why we'd cut a whole scene out of the film, why we'd move a scene from page 85 to page 28. And it was just amazing. And I mention that because today, with all of our editing done on computer, we don't need assistant editors in the room, and the learning process is very different, which in many ways is why I came here to UNC School of the Arts in Winston, because I feel like the craft is now passed along in a very different way. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, learned a lot from Woody Allen, and he also just was a very generous spirit, very funny, obviously. So that was great. On Raging Bull, I was really less connected to the editing room. There were a large number of assistants, one of whom was my friend, Sonia. And she was the first assistant editor, which meant she was the one in the room when Scorsese and Thelma Schoonemaker needed somebody in the room. But that was amazing to be around, too. I'm often asked, do you know when you're working on a film that it's going to be great, if
yeah.
it is in fact great? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the dailies, the raw footage on a film like that, and you know.
Now we're speaking with Michael Miller again. He is currently, as I just mentioned, and I hadn't mentioned this before, but teaches at the filmmaking department at the UNC School of the Arts over in Winston-Salem. Going to be a special guest speaker at the Carrboro Arts Festival Saturday night at the Arts Center from 7:30 to 9. Again, CarrboroFilmFestival.com is the website if you want full schedule of events, more information on the films that are being screened, ticket information, and everything else you need to know about the film festival. Head there and you can get it all. What are you going to be speaking about at the film festival on Saturday night?
Well, it's going to be kind of informal. You know, I was asked to speak about my career, and what I decided to do is bring a few film clips that show various aspects of editing. I'm going to show two different scenes, maybe three, from the movie Miller's Crossing, a Coen Brothers film, and talk about visible editing, really show-offy stuff, big shootout scene at Albert Finney's home, and then show a very different scene that shows invisible editing. Editing is often referred to as the invisible art, as we cut seamlessly from shot to shot. Audiences tend not to see it. They feel it, and that's why we make those cuts. But it's going to be fun, I think, to show both kinds, the big shoot 'em up and then a complex dialogue scene where most viewers wouldn't even know that they were watching editing. And then I'm going to show a kind of in-between scene from Raising Arizona, which is just very different tone, very funny, and point out some really interesting aspects of the Coen brothers' approach to filmmaking. And then really talk about whatever comes up. There will be a Q&A, so I'll be able to answer questions, talk about what it is that interests people who are actually at the film festival.
I've always wondered, especially watching, and you mentioned the shootout scene in Miller's Crossing, scenes like that where you really do notice the extent of the editing and the way that the editing affects the way that the viewer watches the scene. How much of the final effect of a movie is the director's doing, and how much of it is the editing? Because the editing is so important in the finished product.
That's a great question, and I think the source of endless debate in the film industry and out of the film industry. And I would say that the editing has a tremendous effect on everyone and is the work, as a rule, in my experience, it's the collaborative work of the director and the editor. Mm. Really, it's the director's film, and what we try to do as editors is get their vision on the screen in the best possible way. And sometimes we butt heads, strangely, about what the best way to get their vision on the screen is. But I would say it's highly collaborative. It's really both editor and director working together.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Michael Miller, longtime film editor, has worked on Manhattan, Raging Bull, a whole lot more. He's going to be speaking at the Carrboro Film Festival again Saturday night, 7:30 to 9 p.m., as part of a two-day festival that's going on at the Arts Center in Carrboro. CarrboroFilmFestival.com is the website. And Michael, before we let you go, whenever people ask you what is the best story from your career, the funniest thing, the craziest thing that you've experienced in your career as a film editor, what do you say?
Oh my gosh. I have different answers at different times, and this one's kind of long. I'll try to cut it down, but I was working on a movie that I'm very fond of called Boys on the Side, directed by Herbert Ross. And we had just finished principal photography, and as a rule, the director takes a week or two off while the editor finishes what's called the first assembly or the first rough cut of the film, so that we have a kind of cut, usually very loose. It's usually much longer than the final cut of the film, and we sit and watch it together. And Herbert was in New York, I was in Los Angeles, and the idea was I would fly to New York when I was finished and we would watch it together. And I didn't hear from him during the entire two-week period, and I just thought, well, that's very respectful. He's leaving me alone to do this work. And then as we got closer and closer to the date of the screening, I began to get calls from his assistant, who was being cagey about something. I couldn't tell what. And finally she said to me, well, I guess you need to know where we're having this screening. I said, yes. She said, we're going to have this screening in the cardiac care unit of Lenox Hill Hospital. And Herbert had had a heart attack right after we finished principal photography, and didn't want anybody at Warner Brothers to know, because there are clauses in every contract saying they could take the film away from him. And so we kept this little secret, but it was the strangest rough cut screening I've ever had, I must say.
All right, well, we'll hear about that and a whole lot more, and I'm really looking forward to this. On Saturday night, 7:30 to 9 p.m., Carrboro Arts Center, head there for the Carrboro Film Festival. Again, it's going on all day Saturday, all day Sunday. 31 films being screened, a couple of special guests, including film editor Michael Miller, speaking at the Arts Center, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Saturday night. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Aaron. My pleasure.
And again, CarrboroFilmFestival.com is the website. Get a full schedule of events, a list of all of the movies, and ticket information. And head to our website, chapelboro.com. We've got more information about the Carrboro Film Festival there, too, including interviews with a number of the people who are going to be involved in it.